Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor will be with us in the second hour, talking with him about plans and dreams and visions for Leon County and his role. We've got a lot to talk about with Commissioner Proctor, and in the first hour, you'll be in tune with Dr. Bob Schutz. We're going to look at this process of finding healing in relationships and within our own lives. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
So it is on this occasion, my friend, as we welcome you to another broadcast of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Remember that you can find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com, with wonderful folks coming our way. No less today, Commissioner Bill Proctor, first appearance on the show, and a guy who, for his many years of service to the county and so many other organizations, faculty member, associate pastor, the man has certainly found so many different ways of contributing to the welfare of others. From my read, the longest standing running county commissioner to date, started back in 1996 as commissioner for District 1, Leon County. Lots to learn, lots to talk about, quality health care, education, economic development, some of those things that have intersected with the county, particularly in regard to the governor's policies regarding AP coursework and such. We'll have an opportunity to touch on a number of those things. As you do with so many of these moments, it's compressed. You know, it's difficult to get everything into one conversation, so we won't try to do that. But as always, it's interesting to me, and I trust it is to you, to find out more about the person. You know, most of the times we're relegated to headlines and sound bites and pieces of copy that come over our way nine times out of ten, you know, the latest news feed from whatever source you favor. But on an opportunity like this, we find ourselves really wanting to dig in a bit with how and why a person like Bill Proctor continues in all the many years that he has in service to the people of Leon County, particularly District 1 there on the southeast side of town. We're going to do that in the second hour. Bob Schutz is going to be with me in the first hour today. Now, Dr. Schutz, a longtime mental health and family counselor, relationships are his thing. And when it comes to understanding the business and the process of finding healing, not only within relationships, but within our own minds, he is a person that I have followed for many, many years. full transparency here, he and I were actually in graduate school together back in the late 70s, early 80s. So I had a lot of time then to get to know him. We actually did some work together for a while, at least on one or two occasions that I recall. And it happens, too, that in the work that he has been doing in the last number of years, it brings a great deal of clarity to the process of how we go about identifying those places within our own history, our own mental status related to particularly trauma, those events that have occurred for us either as kids or as adults or somewhere in between. And what opportunities then are laid before us? What can we do to bring about a healthier way of approaching life and living and experiencing relationships, intimate relationships particularly? How is it that we go about finding ourselves in the context of supportive, curative relationships, things that make us even better off than when we started? So how do we attract and maintain those kinds of people in our lives? And it doesn't have to be necessarily intimate relationships, friendships included, and even on the level of association with groups of individuals, people that we work with, or perhaps we're connected with through some organization. It seems appropriate to me that we start the show today with that in mind, the conversation with Dr. Schutz about what it requires of us individually and then collectively to say, how do we bring about a more substantial degree of trust and cooperation and listening skills, if nothing else? How about developing a sense of trust and mutual affirmation? Doesn't have to be affection, but at least we have to step out of our own, perhaps our own way of thinking about life and all that that means, values and objectives and perspectives and all that sort of thing. We have to take another step away and say, hey, that person has a role to play. I disagree with them on some things, I agree with them on others. How do we go about finding that course? It's what we're all clamoring about, you know. So the world that we live in now is fraught with discussions of how deeply divided we are. I'm not convinced of that. I think that we are certainly more vocal, and we have more resource, right? We have more opportunity to be more vocal, that is to get out in front of people, you know, what we think and believe and such on anything, right? So if it's, man, you don't like red Solo cups like Willie Nelson, okay, well, let's hear it. And that becomes big news within a matter of nanoseconds, right? So there is no opinion that it cannot, that you can contribute in any forum, in any fashion, without it immediately becoming a topic of conversation. But just as quickly, then it seems to pass. You know, it fades because there's this Mississippi River flow of goodness, data points and conversation and text and images, and my gosh, frankly, TikTok capitalized on that because they know we have, as a culture, become so inoculated with this business of quick feed. You know, 10, 15, maybe 30 seconds, we're gone. We're moving on. And it's an easy swipe. Here we have an opportunity in today's broadcast to take another step back, slow it down, take our time in considering one another. Because as we learn from Dr. Schutz and we learn from Commissioner Proctor, how is it that we can than extrapolate? How do we pull away from those observations, those experiences, those points of view, even if they happen to counter some other belief or opinion we may have? How do we find ourselves in a better place to have open, honest conversation? Is it okay to disagree, but to do so with a mutual goal in mind, that we find ourselves in a more healthy or healthier way of discussing, exploring, and it's not confined to a certain demographic? You know, there's a lot of groups around this town that cater to, let's say, an older white audience. Okay, well, how do we widen that a bit? Or let's go with the other way, a younger black audience. How do we open up those pathways, those places of connection? How do we get more people at the table all at the same time? That's what we're going to look at today. Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. If you have a topic in mind or a guest you'd like us to consider, email us at any time, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Always eager to hear from you, and glad to entertain your thoughts and suggestions, and it's always a good thing to do, considering there's so much to talk about. And man, I'll tell you, we started this broadcast 12 years ago, now in our 12th season, thinking that, okay, well, this will be fun. Never really thinking that it would be a program that finds itself in the company of such a wide variety of people. Our guests over the years have just have been enormously informative, sometimes entertaining. If you got to hear the Easter broadcast with the new 76ers last week, kudos to our producer, Carl Cerny, who pulled that together, and to those fine, talented people, Kelly and Danny and Brian, man alive. If you haven't had a chance to do so, if you missed the broadcast, it's archived for you, as we do all of those broadcasts that we've had the pleasure to bring you. So all you have to do is go to TallahasseeTalks.com, and you can do a search if that's easier for you. Should be just 76ers, and it'll pop up the most recent appearance on the show for them, which again was this last Saturday, and every other occurrence when they've had opportunity to be with us. It's a pleasure, my friend, and it makes me very happy to know that you find the show rewarding enough to tune in. As you know, we're on a couple of stations, our own Moose Magnificat, broadcasting from the studios of, and that occurs on Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday afternoons at 3 and Wednesday afternoons at 5:30. So you have plenty of opportunity to listen at those times. Many of you listen by way of podcast, and certainly if you go to the website, there's a couple of links there for you if you want to subscribe or use your favorite podcast app and do a search for Tallahassee Talks. Should be simple enough. As well, we are delighted to be a part of the lineup over there at 93.3 Real Talk in Tallahassee. My good friends Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe, and John and his crew, man, I tell you what, they're a fine group of people. Do a great job with 93.3. Pleased to be there 7 o'clock every Saturday morning for you. It continues in this next few minutes that we'll talk with you a little bit more about the Tallahassee Food Challenge. I want to get to that here momentarily. I've got some other news items for you as well, and particularly in relation to county business. In this regards, the celebration of Earth Day, Leon County government hosting a community shoreline cleanup coming up next Saturday, the 22nd, at the Anita L. Davis Preserve at Lake Henrietta. That's out on Spring Hill Road. This event will allow citizens to engage in litter pickup and present an opportunity for education on the function and importance of Leon County's stormwater facilities. Yes. In fact, that is a topic that is of greater concern even now than it has been ever. And water purity and the preservation of the natural environment, especially as regards to runoff and those waters that are threatened, I think of Wakulla Springs in that regard. I mean, that's a conversation that's been going on for better than a couple of decades, to my hearing, or in my recollection. So anyway, here's an opportunity for you to put, you know, your feet on the ground. Volunteers will explore the shoreline surrounding areas of the lake to gather and properly dispose of litter. Leon County Office of Resources Stewardship and Public Works Departments will present information about Lake Henrietta as a stormwater facility and how the lake and other stormwater facilities like it benefit Leon County's water systems as a whole. So, great opportunity to help and to learn more about our local water sources and resources. Wanted to say, too, in regard to our Tallahassee Food Challenge campaign, we're now in the final weeks of this effort, and it has been our intention over these many years, starting back in 2002, sorry. So do the math. I think that's like two decades. We've been on this business of trying to make sure that people understand more clearly the opportunities they have to remember those food charities that serve so many people in this region. And of course, at this time of year, we're approaching the end of the school year, it becomes a more critical issue because with school programs not being available to youngsters who rely on breakfast and lunch and such, or take-home food. Yeah, so now the demand for resources increases. Meanwhile, people just tend to get a little less concerned as we enter into those warmer months and into the summer and vacations and all. It happens. And so what we've decided over the years, we have to take the opportunity at hand, courtesy of our sponsors who make it possible for us to get this message out to you, to remind you and I both, give generously, give often, and to make that even more convenient for you and to learn more about food deserts and food scarcity in Leon County especially, you go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. So when you do that, you're going to learn a lot about the efforts that are being made, how these various food charities work to try to offset whatever food challenges people are facing. It remains probably the number one issue among many, many neighborhoods in our community. And honestly, it if you want to look for the face of hunger, if you want to know what that person looks like who is not sure whether or not they will even have a meal today, well, you won't have to look very far. Honestly, this perhaps stereotypic point of view is inaccurate. A lot of the people that you and I are talking about are your coworkers, or they're people that are sitting across from you there in church on a Sunday morning, or they're the people who you hang out with at a particular social event. Right. They are the people who more often are less likely to reach out for help. And especially when times are tough or people have been laid off, yeah, food becomes a negotiable item. There are ways in which people will simply say, I'll go without so my kids can eat. Or I won't be able to provide my kids food every day, so we'll try to stretch it out over a couple of days in the week. And those are the stories that we get. And you don't have to go very far, even in our own experience here with people like Jeremy Matlow. Commissioner Matlow has been very candid about what it was like growing up in poverty and facing that kind of food scarcity and houselessness that he experienced, he and his siblings, for many, many years. It happens that when you go to Tallahassee Food Challenge, you find an opportunity there, not only to learn, but to donate immediately. And you've heard me say this, I'll say it again. When you give a dollar, it translates into $4 worth of buying power. That's the leverage that Second Harvest has. So there's a button there that says donate now. That takes you directly to Second Harvest of the Big Bend website. And there you'll find an immediate opportunity for you to make a donation. Again, a 1-to-4 ratio. So let's think, $100, that's $400 worth of food when that money is in their hands because of the relationship that they have with national food distributors and food providers. It is a remarkable opportunity for you and I when it comes out that you don't have to have a lot of money to make a big impact. In fact, when you think about the opportunity you have at hand, there's no better time than to do that right now. Do it for yourself. Do it from your family. Do it for me. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Dr. Bob Schutz is the founder of John Paul II Healing Center here in Tallahassee, Florida. He is a nationally renowned speaker, a presenter, and a writer. Bob recently published his first book, Be Healed, A Guide to Encountering the Powerful Love of Jesus in Your Life. It's available for purchase through their store there at the John Paul II Healing Center. Bob is a licensed marriage and family therapist and retired from private practice. During his time in practice, he integrated the teachings of St. John Paul II and the charism of healing, which he now teaches. He is married to his wife, Margie, for 39 years, and they have 2 married daughters and 7 grandchildren. Let's welcome Dr. Schutz to our show. How are you, sir?
Good, Brian. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Nice to see you again. Now, full transparency here and disclosure, Bob and I are friends, okay? But we're those kind of Facebook friends. We're the friends that seem to show up every 10 to 12 years in one another's lives. And the meanwhile, as I've just indicated, this man stays pretty busy, so it's forgivable. But Bob and I knew each other way back, 35 years ago when we met in graduate school. Then. Yeah. And we found a common, I think it's fair to say, Bob, a common love for Jesus, a love for God, a love for people, that then got funneled through this desire to bring understanding and healing and direction for people who find themselves beset with marital issues, family issues, mental health issues. Now, for those who do not know you, as I have known you, how would you describe what's happened in that 35 years from the time that you were in private practice, let's say, and kind of give us a synopsis there.
Okay.
What happened to you?
And what happened to me? Well, starting back in graduate school, as I think we were in different programs, but they were overlapping programs.
Yes, yes.
Mine was in family relations, and right. I had a real interest in the generations of the family and how those generations were influencing one generation to the next. You know, the legacy, we talk a lot these days about legacy and what's the legacy that's handed down to the next generation. Mm. And both the legacy of good things of the blessings, so to say, but also the legacies of the hurts and the legacy of the difficulties.
Good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah. So throughout my years as a therapist, I worked with a lot of different populations, but always from that kind of framework of understanding, and also with the understanding of my Catholic faith background and just who I was as a person, obviously comes into that.
Yeah, being genuine.
And over the years, I really had a pretty critical experience about 13 years into my marriage, and it was about 10 years into my practice at that point. And I was going through a very difficult time in our relationship, in my mine's and Margie relationship. And having come from a family where my parents divorced, I didn't want to go down that road.
Yeah.
But I was in a lot of fear of that.
Yeah.
And that put me into a personal crisis. So that personal crisis threw me into therapy for myself for the first time. And so I got to experience what it was like on the other side, which helped shape that experience. But it also really, even though I had a faith in God before that, it really created a hunger of, you know, my profession isn't going to save me here. My knowledge of marriage and family isn't going to save our relationship here.
Right.
I need something beyond my capacity to figure this out, because it's obviously not working well. To figure it out based on all the knowledge I've had.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Here's the guy who should have all the answers, we might think.
Yeah.
And you were struggling to find those answers for yourself.
I had experience with other people and book knowledge, but there was something deeper here. I knew that the crisis was in my ability to love. And no matter how much knowledge I had, it wasn't going to teach me how to love.
Wow. So for that reason, then, the therapeutic experience, the therapy that you were receiving, was helpful? Was directive?
It was very helpful, in the sense of it was the first time that I really had somebody hear and listen to and help me identify my emotions, my pain, what was going on inside of me. But it had a limitation, which is it helped uncover it, but it didn't help resolve it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of left there seeing it and feeling it,
right,
but not knowing what to do with it.
Right. That raises an interesting question. Oftentimes people will ask me this: what's the difference between counseling, if there is one, and therapy?
Okay. Well,
do you describe those differently?
I can use them interchangeably, but yeah. I think there's a difference in that.
Yeah.
Counseling is the giving of wisdom, the giving of guidance.
Yeah.
I think therapy seeks to go for something deeper at a level of transformation in a person's life. And so if you think about a physical therapist,
yes, right,
somebody may give advice about the exercises to do, or they may help reform your physical injury.
Yep.
With some intensive, oftentimes painful activity.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
interesting. I relate to that easily. My wife right now was injured her foot back in December.
Uh-huh.
Everything has, quote, healed, right? But it's still very painful.
Uh-huh.
So the prescription is therapy.
Go to physical therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And in which case, she's not just getting advice about the exercises she needs to do, which would be good counsel.
Yeah.
But she's also having them work with her to do things that she may need help doing.
Okay. So personally, then, you're at that point, let's say, where, okay, somebody's listening, somebody's helped uncover where the woundedness is, the hurt is, the pain is.
Uh-huh.
Now what? What then?
Yeah, now what? And I think, honestly, if I'd only been relying on counseling, Margie and I may have gone different directions, even though that's not what either one of us wanted. And so it was at that point that the faith that I had all along became important and pretty serious to me. And so I remember just going every night into my room and praying and saying, God, I need help. I need help. Holy Spirit, you know, God, in the scripture you say you give the Holy Spirit to anybody that asks. I need your Spirit to guide me, to lead me, to transform me.
Was Margie aware of your prayer effort at that time, do you think?
I don't think that was one of the dividing places between us, is that we weren't sharing intimately at a spiritual level. So that was pretty much my own activity at the time. You know, we may pray at meals or something like
right,
that.
Right,
but,
right.
But in terms of a deeper, intimate kind of heartfelt cry. But in fairness to her, too, that a lot of this pain was so difficult because it was causing trouble between us, that I didn't want to burden her with what I was going through either. I didn't want to hurt her more.
So you saw those issues that you had brought forward from your own childhood and such into the relationship.
I didn't see it at the time, but that's what was happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I was blinded to that. I was focusing on how she wasn't loving me well and how this wasn't going well. But really,
see, I've never done that.
Nobody ever does that, right, Brian?
I never blame anybody else for my own problems.
Yeah. So it was at that point, that was part of the difficulty. I was blind to it. And the counseling was reinforcing it, because now I'm getting in touch with my hurt and my anger. So again, very helpful, but not the answer ultimately.
And that answer came, well, initially began with this personal retreat, we'll say, that from your description was a nightly sort of thing, just
it was a nightly
getting in
thing.
Front of God and saying, help.
Yeah, and from that, he brought me into several experiences that were communal.
Mm.
He brought me to, in the beginning, he brought me to a marriage encounter back then, brought us to marriage encounter.
Right, I remember that.
Brought us into what was called a Life in the Spirit seminar.
Yeah.
But the really key thing that shifted was a retreat experience called Christ Renews His Parish.
Say it again.
Christ Renews His Parish.
Christ Renews His Parish, okay. Yeah.
And it was comes out of the Crescil, Tres Dias movement. All that is, they're all interconnected.
Many in this community are familiar with Tres Dias.
Yeah, I've been involved in the Tres Dias also here.
Marvelous. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Bob Schutz. He is founder of the John Paul II Healing Center here in Tallahassee. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dr. Bob Schutz, a good buddy, an able spokesperson on behalf of a number of communities, principally here today. We'll call it the Christian Counseling Therapeutic Community, but at large, the body of Christ, I think, engaged in this bewildering life that we live. How do we make sense in the modern world of a Christian, we'll call it Christian life, when we are beset with so many distractions and confusing ideas about what that means? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be able to express and apply and put out for those who are a part of our immediate lives that life that we say we are enjoying, we're walking out, and you know, how many of us have had that said to us? Well, you say you're a Christian, you're not acting like a Christian right now. Well, good point.
Yeah,
okay,
good point.
So we're going to come back to this discussion we're having with Dr. Bob, my good buddy, and we left off with you talking a little bit about some of your walk, and you were on this weekend of renewal.
Yeah.
So let's pick up there.
Yeah, and it was one of those times in my life when I wasn't acting like a good Christian in the sense of loving my wife well. But I was hungry for it. I really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
I just was recognizing my poverty for maybe the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of necessity in the spiritual walk is recognizing that. But in that desperation, we're asked on the weekend, I mean, you probably experienced something similar to this, of ask for two things, one thing on the weekend and one thing when you get home.
Yeah.
So I said, I want to know, Jesus, that you're real in a way that I've never known you. That was my prayer for the weekend. My prayer when I got home was, I want to love my wife like I've never been able to love her before.
Yeah.
And with shortcutting the story, I tell it in my book, but shortcutting the story, after a miserable 24 hours, I had a profound experience of, the way that I describe it is through the words of Jesus in Scripture, rivers of living water will flow up from your belly. I felt like this explosion of love inside of me. Didn't start up here in my mind, it started down here in the rear, in
your
my
gut.
Gut. Yeah. Flowed up.
It was a physical
experience where it was being filled up from the inside out, and I felt like I was going to burst.
Wow.
I just felt like I was going to explode, and I started to laugh, and I started to cry. First time in 20 years I cried, and I cried the whole next day. And aside to that, my brother Bart was on that weekend. He had just been cut from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team. He had a profound experience, just changed both of our lives radically. When I came home, my kids were young teenagers. My wife was there. I was able to see her with new eyes. I was able to love her with a new heart. And not that we haven't had struggles since then, but it's changed from we're not going to make it to thank God you saved me from that precipice.
Right.
And so we began to build from that point. And as it related to my therapy, and you're familiar with this, we started a group of Christian therapists in town who began to say, how can we take what we've learned as therapists and incorporate what we've experienced personally and bring that in terms of helping people? And that was really one factor. Another factor was I started to receive lots of books on healing and began to get taught about healing. And then the third thing was being introduced to John Paul II, who at that time was Pope. He had been a world-class philosopher before he was Pope as a priest. And what I was amazed at is when he became Pope, he looked at the world and he says, what's the greatest problem right now that God is asking me to speak to? And he said, it's the breakdown of marriage and family. And so much of what he wrote was all in the area of marriage and family. And it was so clear as I read it, the truth of it, that it brought into correction all the places where I'd learned from a secular standpoint what was good for marriage and family. It was just brought it into clarity. And the way I like to say it is, like, when you start a building, you have to have what they call a plumb line for the foundation. You have to know what true balance is and where the real true foundation is. And for me, studying him and what he was writing about marriage and family and rooting it all in Jesus Christ, what I had experienced and what I was learning now matched up.
Yeah, yeah. It speaks to me in this way, what I'm hearing you say, that as Christians, perhaps this could be said of those even who are not Christians, if you're issuing a prayer right now, and you're just throwing it out there, saying, maybe if there is a God, God is listening to me, and I'm saying this, make me more patient, make me more loving, make me more tender-hearted, or make me stronger, give me more faith, give me more strength to endure. Whatever that prayer is, here's a remarkable observation that is not mine, that I'm learning from people like my friend here, Bob Schutz. The circumstances that come about are even more stressful, are even more faith challenging.
Yes.
The pressures may increase then, because what's happening is it's extracting from us the, we'll call it a kind of putrid poison. Yeah. That has been inside of me, right?
Yes.
And exposing then this woundedness in me. Folks, we need to have another couple of decades with this guy. But Today's message is at its conclusion here, and so we're going to let Dr. Schutz move on. You've got some great things coming up, too. Tell us about the next book, the next conference. What's on your agenda?
A lot of things coming. Right now I'm working on a follow-up book called Be Holy with a W. So looking at...
Oh, you clever guy.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. Looking at how what we typically think of holiness separated from wholeness is not really holiness. To be able to look at that as an integration of in Jesus, who is whole and holy all in one.
Very cool.
That our identity needs to be there.
Yeah.
And our wholeness and healing needs to be there.
Yeah.
And our holiness needs to be there. Because otherwise we become self-righteous, which, you know, we're all guilty of.
Indeed. Indeed.
So that's one of the things on the agenda right now I'm working on. And we have lots of different conferences, upcoming conferences in Tallahassee. We have two a year in Tallahassee that are larger conferences called Restoring the Glory.
Mm.
And it's looking at our identity as male and female and the ways in which our sexuality gets wounded, the ways in which we wound ourselves and others in that sexuality, the confusion we have in the culture with our sexual identity, and what the healing process looks like. So,
wow. Nothing timely about that.
Yeah. It's
timely and relevant.
There's folks. A relevance.
That's what's going on with this organization, John Paul II Healing Center. Bob Schutz, our guest today, the founder and author, a counselor, a guide, a therapist, somebody who, if you have opportunity to get to know, I certainly encourage you to do that. Blessings on you, my brother, and
Thank
your
you,
wife, man. And your children, and
Thank
your
you.
Grandchildren, and their children.
Thank you.
And so it is.
And on yours.
And folks, for your sake, let me refer you again to the website, which, if I have this correct, it's JPII, as in John Paul II, healingcenter.org. If you just search John Paul Healing Center or search Bob Schutz, and it's an unusual spelling. It looks like shucks, but it's really Schutz. It's S-C-H-U-C-H-T-S. Go to our website. I'll have it there for you, TallahasseeTalks.com. That's easier.
Thanks, Brian.
Bob, thanks for being with us.
Good being
Folks,
here.
Stay with me. Coming up here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of families since 1945.
Experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass, and they provide precise installation.
Witten Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass. Online at wittenglass.com. Call 850-222-5781.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, biweekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Welcome back to the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, with Brian Cerny, yours truly. Always a pleasure, my friend, wherever you are, wherever you may be. Remember, we used to say that back in the 70s, what it was, what it is, what it shall be. Yeah, all right, never mind. Just an old hippie here, getting older by the second, trying to stay relevant. Oh, man, that's a challenge. I don't think I've ever been relevant. Speaking of relevance, we got Commissioner Bill Proctor coming up here shortly. I promised you. Yes, it's happening. First appearance on the show. My bad. I thought of it many times, and it just, I don't know, just never thought, yeah, I should really call him and get him in here and so forth. So he got it done, and here he is. He's going to talk at length about his own personal pursuit of goodness and good things in life and his contributions in a lot of different places and times throughout his lifetime. If you don't know the man personally, and I'll say this, frankly, was our very first meeting face to face. Very affable sort of guy. Not at all what I was trying to imagine in advance. A guy who just was pretty clear-minded and easy to talk to, and just as ready to, you know, share some little anecdote from his personal history, and kept us all laughing at certain points and crying at other points. Crying especially when it comes to his concerns about the underserved, underrepresented perhaps, or certainly those who we tend to want out of sight and out of mind. Come on, let's be honest. It's not accidental. It's intentional. And that's the hardest part for us to embrace. At least it is for me. You know, I'm driving along and I pull up to an intersection and I'm there waiting for the light and somebody's standing outside my car window with a piece of cardboard. And I ask myself, why do I find that so offensive or you know, intrusive, annoying? Who is that person anyway, and what are they going to do with that money? Come on, let's talk honestly here about what we do with the people who just do not fit into our otherwise nicely groomed, manicured life. Maybe not so nicely manicured where you are today. Maybe I overstate my case here, but you get what I'm saying. Come on, the world is a chaotic place, at least the human world, the social world, and maybe the physical world too. I'm certainly not qualified to talk about, you know, ecosystems and biology and geology and such. But let's just agree that there is chaos, that this chaos, this unpredictability, the unmanaged, you know, the disruptive, the unforeseen, the unpredictable. That's, to me, one of the primary characteristics of human existence. It's astounding that we are all still here, or that human civilization has somehow prevailed over the course of human history. I mean, not to sound nihilistic or anything, I'm not. I'm actually astounded that we have found a way, or found ways in which we are better able to manage that chaos for ourselves. But may I suggest to you, there's a kind of continuum between, we'll call it the chaotic, maybe even the completely random part of the world, or the way our world works. And then on the other end of that continuum is this highly structured, managed, controlled, established style or way of living. Forgive me for oversimplifying this. All I'm trying to get to here is the fact that the best of our intentions happen, it seems to me, when we are in some kind of a middle ground. We're in a sort of balance. remember David Olson, University of Minnesota, years and years ago, back in the 80s, he developed a very systematic theory of how human systems work, especially as those occur in families, and talked about the need for balance, both on two dimensions, largely structure, and then on the other dimension, that of engagement or connectedness. How closely are we connected to one another? And the other, how strongly are we structured in our way of living, day-to-day sort of thing, right? Those are the two dimensions. And he always made that observation, and it was a clinical observation. I mean, there was plenty of clinical research to support his claim that the people who did best in life, as individuals, as families, as communities, were those that had worked at maintaining balance. And balance means like a high wire act, like a person on a tightrope. Balance occurs as all kinds of adjustments, some pretty subtle, maybe others not so subtle, but constant adjustments in order to maintain one's balance. Well, when we are faced with people who are so in love with the control of outcomes based on what they're invested in and what they think they have to be happy, against those who are completely chaotic, and at that point it's really just a sort of liberty gone wild, right? It's unpredictable to the degree that we don't know. we don't know when dinner is going to be, if it's 5 o'clock today or 6, or we don't even know if we're going to have dinner, right? And anarchy really is the rule of the day. And it's just so completely unpredictable and chaotic. And so the question is, how do we find ourselves within a community like Tallahassee, like Leon County, working out those changes, those adjustments, those attempts to maintain balance? How closely are we connected with one another? East side, west side, north side, south side. How much do we share in our common experience with one another? Historically, not very well at all. I mean, you know, I got here in 78. The first jobs I had was working on the south side of town. And it was common knowledge among the people I was working with. Yeah, that's north side. We're south side. Curiously, we're on the other side of the tracks. Wow. Yep, so we're actually living out the stereotypic way of thinking of social structure. And people have just continued in that over the years. But then a guy like Bill Proctor gets himself elected back in 96. He's been on this Leon County Commission. He comes in with all kinds of outlandish statements and unabashed comments and initiatives that won him some votes and that probably lost him some votes. And his recent efforts in regard to the way in which we conduct ourselves in a public manner in regard to those who protest on behalf of those that they represent. Those are the conversations we need to be having all the time, and that is what we'll be talking about with Commissioner Bill Proctor. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and 3 generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction.
It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bill Proctor is a member of the Leon County Board of County Commissioners. He represents the citizens of Leon County District 1, which includes the Central City and Southside areas. Commissioner Proctor currently serves as chairman of Leon County's Board of Commission and held the chairman's position in 2006, 2015, and 2022. His priorities as the District 1 Commissioner are affordable housing, quality health care, education, and economic development. And he is our guest today. Commissioner Proctor, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Brian. I'm appreciative to be here.
What a pleasure. So just looking at those dates, 06-1522, then I went, wait a minute, how old is this guy? And you look younger than me, and I feel ancient. You've been serving this county since 1996. I have to ask you, don't you just at points want to say, I think I'm done? How do you keep this ball rolling?
There are so many needs. There are so many things to do. It's so exciting. It's so much fun. It's not work. It's joy. Currently, I have evolved from being the chairperson in November, and Commissioner Nick Maddox is our current reigning chairperson.
Right.
But I'm just recently, most recently serving. And very glad not to be the chairman.
It does free up that little slice for you. I can't imagine any other aspect of our daily lives than what you have listed here. Church, community, higher education, federal, state, local government.
Well, I just wish I was a singer. If I could sing, Luther Vandross and Lou Rawls and Jeffrey Osborne, all the great.
Look, brother, it's not too late. There's still that possibility up ahead. Let's just put that on.
That's the missing piece, right?
Is that okay?
I would like to be a singer.
Yeah, and for those who may not know, you began your life, we'll say in your youth, you began as
It's okay to say ill-spent youth.
You can say that. A high school quarterback at FAMU High, where you attended first grade through 12th. You were the quarterback for FAM, and they won, was it the championship? State championship,
yes.
Under your tutelage as quarterback.
Absolutely. Well, they had a very special quarterback, and thank God they had even more special running backs and linemen.
It does help.
And they had even greater specialization and outstanding players on the defense.
Now, you did not pursue football then, we'll say, beyond high school. So you went on from there to get your training in law. Tell us a little bit about your educational background.
Well, we left Florida A&M University High School, what we call FAMU High, and we went to Howard University. And I was there for 7 continuous years in undergraduate in law school. And while there, I actually served. My first little serving was they needed a secretary for the Florida Club. And nobody wanted to be the secretary because that meant you had to come to the meetings. So I volunteered as a little freshman and didn't know. I just jumped on it, so I'll do it. And it really started by, they said, who will take the minutes of our meeting? And I volunteered and thought nothing of it. I was a high school editor of the yearbook, and writing came pretty simple to me. So the next meeting, we came back, and they were organizing and said, who would we have to be the secretary? Because I had to read the minutes that I had taken from the first meeting. And when everybody heard the minutes, they were like, oh, spellbound, because I had that writing. And they like, oh, we want Bill. So here I am, a freshman, being elected among juniors and seniors to serve in secretarial role simply because I'd taken the minutes and volunteered to do so. And when I read them the second meeting and we were electing officers, I got thrown in.
Wow.
So I eventually became president of Florida Club. And from there, I ran for president of Howard School of Communications. and became a vice chair of his student policy board.
Wow.
So
wow.
It was a fascinating thing, so much talent.
Howard
I never
University.
Knew there was that many people smarter than me. Really. I learned how many more people were smarter than me in college.
I figured that out too, my friend. Howard University School of Communications, got your Juris Doctorate there, Howard University School of Law. On it goes. Then attended the Boston University School of Theology, and serving even now as an associate there, staff associate or associate pastor with Bethel AME. And you do that in your spare time? I mean, how do you make all that work? It's making me tired thinking about you.
Well, I've been a African Methodist Episcopal minister, AME. Since 85, I first started teaching at FAMU in spring of 86.
In political science.
Correct. And I've just simply done these things each day and rotate roles and put on a different hat. And I'm not sure how you do it, but I have probably conducted three careers in one lifetime.
Indeed.
But curiosity and...
And that singing career is still up ahead.
I mean, so I've got to get a hold of that thing.
You just need a good pianist. You need an accompanist. That's what you need.
Like Luther Vandross. He's left
a
void.
If you get some backup singers and a good pianist, you're in, brother. It'll happen.
You know, I got to talk to a
professor. Got a recording studio. We can do this.
I mean, really, now, don't tempt me. I am
tempting
you. I'm crazy enough to do that. I take you up on that.
Yes. Well, your craziness, though, has turned out to be contributive in many occasions when you're known for this. You'll say stuff that is just really sort of unabashed, off the cuff. And everybody takes a deep breath or a gasp or whatever and then says, well, how could he say that? Why would the federal government want to give us forest land to help us out here with more housing and such? How did that come about and where did that go with talking
well,
about
it? Well, we're a growing community. Our Office of Economic Vitality indicates that we're going to grow to a certain number by 2030. Hmm. It seems that nobody wants to give up where they live, the NIMBY thing, not in my backyard.
Sure.
Nobody wants the mentally challenged. No one wants the homeless. No one wants the jail. There are so many things that we need that no one wants. Hmm. Here's the federal government sitting on 1/4 of Leon County. I'd say 1/5, at least 20% of the county, is over there in something called the Apalachicola Forest. Well, the very name of Apalachicola is an Indian word. Well, they're not home. The Indians ain't there. So why should the federal government be in Tallahassee owning up a fifth occupying our land? It makes no sense. And in the 27 years that I've been a commissioner, I've never seen a report from the federal government of their vision, their plans, the scope of conservation. I've seen nothing. We get no report from the owners of 1/5 of the dirt on what they do, what they plan to do, or what they have done. That dirt is doing nothing. And so, you know, in philosophy, you use the utilitarian thought, and to do that thing which benefits the greatest number of people, to do that good, which would benefit the greatest number of people.
Over the greatest period of time.
Exactly. Right. And to yield that dirt, and for the federal government to sit on that dirt for the next 300 years, we're going to be 200 years as a community next year. Our bicentennial for both the city in March, and in December we will have bicentennial for the county.
Yes.
So in 1824, people were planning Tallahassee. Some of the dirt escaped the clutches of the federal government.
Huh.
I want the rest. Our community needs it. We need a new jail. We need new mental health facilities. We need affordable housing. We need some place for children to go. Florida University needs a military campus for training of young people. Outside of that building called Howard Hall, which you saw the university president write about in the newspaper. I went up there on Sunday and counted 25 air conditioners units sticking out of the window. I looked in the building and I got pictures here on my phone where there's no visible signs of anything like technology. How do you prepare students for ROTC at the nation's number one public historically black college and university, and there's no technology in the building? And yet, when you look at the number of generals, high-ranking colonels, and officials, and the kind of officers that come out of FAMU. Hell, if they had two computers there, we might have produced about the majority of all generals, period. But working with nothing, look at what has been done. So when you consider all of what has not, and there seems to be no space for, put these growth needs over in what is the national forest. National Forest, Apalachicola, goes all the way back down over to other. So where there is no imagination, you know, so why not ask the federal government? I own the government. Mm-hmm. You own the government. Amen. You own the federal government. You own the state government. Mm-hmm. You own the local government. It belongs to the people, of the people, for the people, by the people. And if it's not being used for the people, we damn well don't need it.
We're talking with Bill Proctor, Commissioner for District 1, Leon County, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of families since 1945.
Experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass, and they provide precise installation.
Witten Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass. Online at wittenglass.com. Call 850-222-5781.
So here comes an opportunity for Commissioner Bill Proctor, who says, I don't know, I think that we've got plenty of land that is really our land. It's being managed or controlled by the federal government. Likewise, Commissioner, you come at issues that seem to be difficult, we'll say, for other folks to consider. You write a letter to the governor of Florida talking about AP curriculum. Not only did you write the letter, you made sure that that was available for any and all of us who wanted to read that letter. Now, I'm going to hazard a guess that on that glorious day, you were praised.
It was the 3rd of September, a day I'll always remember.
It was a Tuesday. I mean, you were vilified and heralded all in the same moment. But that's what I'm getting to here. I don't find in you a person who is moved by the herd, the crowd. There seems to be some kind of a moral compass for you, and I hate to say that because it sounds very trite, but it seems to me that there's a conversation going on inside of you all the time, and you said it a moment ago, looking for the greatest good for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time. That we should have that embroidered in every one of our homes, because when that happens, and it becomes the mantra for us, maybe we won't be quite so worried about protecting our own little fiefdom over here.
Well, you know, the Danish philosopher, I believe, Rene Descartes said, I think, and therefore I am. And when you consider the notion of thinking related to I, it does not lend itself to the herd. It's very singular. I think. And when it comes to washing my car, I can defer cutting my grass. Some people took a tree down for me last week. Other people, the cleaners will clean my clothes and shoes. I mean, there are a number of things that my car needs fixing. I'll take it to a mechanic.
Yeah.
But when it comes to thinking, I will think. Mm-hmm. I don't defer my thinking to others. Mm-hmm. I allow others to do a lot of services. A lady is cook some food for me for Easter. That's great. I paid her. But my thinking, I do that part. And that's what I keep personal for myself. And in that way, it insulates me. And in that way, it remains personal. And it may not go in the direction of the herd or the crowd. Because I think, and therefore I. Now, some people eat. I eat, and therefore I am. I follow others, and therefore I am. If the people like me in the crowd, I'm on Facebook, and everybody likes me, I am. But Descartes said, I think. And as long as I'm able to think and keep the thinking I'm cool.
It happens that when we start thinking out loud. Oftentimes we're buffeted, and here you are serving in all of these different roles that you have chosen for yourself. And it begs the question, were you this way from your earliest beginnings? I mean, in the family where you were reared, you were encouraged to speak your mind, or how did this develop for you?
I don't really know. I don't have brothers or sisters. So when I went to school, I was excited to see other kids because that's where I got to talk with other kids. You know, everybody had brothers and sisters, and probably your parents probably said, shut up, be quiet. Y'all be quiet over there chilling. Why y'all making so much fuss? I wish somebody would say something else so I can come in there and kill them. I'm going to kill the next person and say something. And I said those things to my children. But when you're the only little voice in the house, your mother relished the sound of your voice. And I guess your father did not stymie your voice.
Yes.
So I kept talking. And when I went to school, the thing which I stayed in trouble for the most is the same thing that I stay in trouble, I guess, the most now, with talking.
Yeah.
That was me.
I would pull this back just a smidge to say, because you think before you talk, perhaps. And I don't know you. Mm-hmm. I'm just here getting to know you, which is how I like doing this. You know, this is a conversation. It's not a script.
Have you ever considered that what other people think largely doesn't matter?
It really doesn't matter.
And do you understand that the way I see it, life, as we've been taught, the earth has existed billions of years, at least millions of years before I got here.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess my only thoughts about that is that when I leave here, there will, you know, I'll be here for another billion years if the earth stands up another billion years.
Yeah.
So each day, each moment is sweet, it's different, it's unique, it's special, because time, relative to its beginning point, if there was a beginning, and time relative to its ending point, if there is an end, what you think don't matter to me.
I like the verse
that says,
because
I've got to lay down in a hole in the ground and be dead for a long, long
this
time.
Is the day. This is the day the Lord has made.
So let us what?
Be rejoice glad. And be glad. It's not a week. It's not a year. It's not a decade. It's the day. So your father also in ministry as well, correct?
No, his brother and my grandfather, my father's dad.
Okay.
My father was sold insurance. Taught high school industrial arts and worked in housing.
Working stiff, we'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With that background, I was just curious as to whether or not that encouraged you in the direction of being contributive, being involved. So many times I talk with people in your kinds of work, the kinds of things that you commit yourself to that are certainly beyond what you have to do. Like I say, you can do a lot of different things to make a living. But here you chose to be on this county commission for all these many years. And, I mean, I'm looking at this list, including the widening of Crawfordville Road. Gee, what a terrible idea that was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Orange Avenue. Oh, no. Here comes the building of the B.L. Perry Branch Public Library, Southside Richardson Lewis Health Center, 50th anniversary of the Tallahassee bus boycott. You were the chair. Back in 06, led the charge to keep Bond Elementary School in the community. I mean, I'm just asking, where does the drive come from for you? Where is that rooted, I suppose? I mean, do you go home at night and sit back and say, I don't know if I really care about this stuff? Or does it wake you up in the middle of the night to say, I got to do something else here?
Well, deprivation is something I see, disparities is something I see, inequalities are things that I see. Jesus would see the poor, the dispossessed, the hungry, the incarcerated, the underdog, the lady by the well, the lady caught in the act of adultery, but would always be on the side of, in among and with those who were a little less fortunate. In my eyes, trained in Christian ministry, my mind trained in the legalities at a place called Howard University, from whence Thurgood Marshall, emanated, taught by Charles Hamilton Houston, whose philosophy is dean of the Howard Law School and is a mentor of Thurgood Marshall. He did not see him Howard University is developing lawyers to go work for Steen, Steen, and Steen, but that they were developing social engineers. Mm-hmm. So I've been developed out of a philosophy that with my understanding, I am to be a social engineer. I was told that. I was instructed that. And so when Minister Farrakhan at the Million Man Rally in 1995, August 28th, said, go back to your communities and cast a shadow locally, take over, be an impact person where you are. It kind of resonates with Booker T. Washington suggesting cast your bucket down where you are, where you are. And life begins where you are.
That we're going to leave the conversation for just a moment here, take this break, but that leaves us with this notion that this is the day. We have this day. Mm-hmm. Let's be wise in using the time to the benefit of others. Folks, stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Jeremy Matlow, co-owner of Gain Street Pies in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
Gain Street Pies is honored to be sponsoring this year's Tallahassee Food Challenge. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of year when food supplies run low. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families in our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Bill Proctor. It would be a good moment to say, with all that we've talked about, you have a number of issues near and dear to your heart. What's next on your agenda?
Well, thank you, Brian, for that question. We will have a press conference at the Leon County Detention Facility. We will suggest to the sheriff, and I'm asking the sheriff, to come clean, to not cover up the dynamics of the Leon County Detention Facility, which includes 40% of the clientele there who are on psychotropic medications, which means that they are mentally challenged in some way. But I am contending, and will say to our sheriff tomorrow, that 40% are on medication, but there are scores of people there who have been abused in their childhood. They've been abandoned in life. They have been in military duties and have PTSD. There are scores of people who've had emotional setbacks, divorce, lost your child, or lost your way.
Yeah.
They are not on medicine per se. So if you're only going by that 40% are actually on medications, I am suggesting to you that the backgrounds of many of the people there has incurred so many life traumas and setbacks. They may not all be on medication, but they all, say at least 70%, are out of mental equilibrium. And so my ask of our sheriff is for him to lend vision. And having been the Secretary of the Department of Corrections in Florida, Secretary of the Department of Juvenile Justice, he's familiar with facilities. He's been a police chief, a lot of things. He's
right.
Decorated.
Right.
I want him to bring forward a vision that will modify that jail, that will allow for humane care to be rendered. When I did a tour on Good Friday of the jail, I found in one pod 94 detainees with one guard. Imagine if somebody said, let's get him now. Well, he's probably sitting there with a revolver that might shoot 15 rounds or something. But I said 94. Folk were there, 94.
So we're in a powder keg sort of status.
That's the word.
And the worst possible scenario could avail itself.
It's there.
It has
and
been.
And the population is mixed.
Yes.
You got murderers in yes. there charged with murder.
Yes.
More than 120 people out there have been charged with murder.
Right.
Okay.
In the history of incarceration, it's often been said among professionals that we take a criminal, somebody who's been arrested, put in jail, who on some minor offense, but that's where he goes to criminal school. He learns how to become a more proficient, we'll say, or maybe even effective criminal. So he's out in maybe 18 months, but what did he learn while he was there?
Well, you know, Brian, I'm your show, I'm not interrupting, but as chairperson of the Public Safety Coordinating Council for a number of years, I've heard stories of people, and that our job by state statute is to help lower the jail population. I can't lower Leon County's jail population. I can't lower it because the population of the community is growing. Hmm. I can't lower it because homelessness is growing.
Right, right.
I can't lower it because people's incomes is not keeping up with the cost of living. We cannot lower it because juveniles continue to commit and sustain the growth rate of it. I can't lower it. Mm-hmm. We charge by statute to lower it. So I'm asking for modification of the space with the right programming, the right resources, that we're not entombing the living and as though they were dead. So I'm quite aware this won't be very popular. Mm-hmm. To ask for a modification of that detention center, but it has to be done if we're going to be humane. The majority of those people out there are black, 70% to be precise. Mm-hmm. And with our experiences of slavery, our experiences of being brought across the Atlantic, the transatlantic slave trade, we've been a part of a lot that I'm highly sensitive to overcrowded conditions. I'm highly sensitive to incarceration and the loss of freedom. And right now, the direction of which this thing is trending is not in a good direction at all.
And when we talk about freedom, that really opens up the other part of the conversation that I know is something you're very concerned about, and that has to do with representation, democracy, the opportunity for people to have voice. We had this arrest occur recently with protesters there at City Hall. What's your take on all that?
Well, on yesterday, I did indicate to one of our local television news outlets that as long as I am a commissioner, no one is going to be arrested at Leon County's courthouse on my watch. That's not going to happen unless they do something illegal. But it is not illegal to protest. It is not illegal to come to a government property owned by the people, of the people, for the people. It's the place to come. So Leon County has opened its lawn for people who want to occupy it. And I think the group is called Occupy Tallahassee. But let's be for real about this. Tallahassee is being occupied around several of its Walmarts. There are people who occupy the woods and stay there. There are people who are occupying North Monroe Street out by I-10. You see them meandering and staggering and they're occupying. So when you go on Pensacola Street out by the Kearney Center, the homeless center, numbers of scores of people occupying, just sitting on the wall, sitting on, just in life, aimless. So why can't they also occupy the grass of the courthouse? The people that we bring in there, we bring them, most of them, from the basement and up a special elevator, and they have chains on. So if we can chain people up, bring them from the jail to meet the court, to meet the judges, and all of that for justice in the name of democracy, well, why in the hell can't you sit on the front door of the courthouse and talk about democracy and talk about justice? So that building needs the mentality that Occupy Tallahassee is talking about. And when you get down to what was going on last week, Nikki Freed, that senator, those people talking about Florida reducing a woman's decision from 15 weeks to 6 weeks. And if you ain't had an abortion, decided in, I think, the 6 week, five or six weeks, mm-hmm. I can't remember, mm-hmm. but you can't have an abortion, it becomes illegal. Mm-hmm. That is wrong. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. And that this can only happen to, 100% of the men in Tallahassee, 100% of the men in Florida are exempt from this law and is expected to make a decision about a baby. So why do we put this burden on women and take that right away from them? I'm troubled that we would target them, yes. and make and lessen and condense a decision period, of which many in that time of 5 or 6 weeks, I've heard medical doctors say they're unaware that they're even expecting.
There are those who had an opportunity to view the recently held town hall meeting. Village Square hosted that, WFSU. Tom Flanagan was the host. There were only in attendance three city commissioners for their portion, and then they followed with county commissioners. But the comment was made among the city commissioners that those who were in protest that day at City Hall were in violation of an ordinance. He said, well, unless they do something illegal. Well, the claim was that they had been told, these are our ordinances, these are our rules, you broke the rules. A friend of mine said to me, yeah, but why do you show up with heavily armed squad, 15 police officers, for some people who are clearly not a threat because they broke an ordinance? I mean, so slap them with a parking ticket type of an attitude. But what's the whole business behind that? It begs the question. And it's a question that we'll have to hold for another time, because we got to let you get up. You got a lot of work to do, man.
I do.
And so we're going to let
you go. I'm so appreciative for this opportunity.
Likewise, and, my friend.
I concur with your statement.
It's long overdue, and we'll make sure that we have further opportunity in the weeks and months ahead. Folks, this is why we do what we do. Commissioner Bill Proctor here with us on this fine occasion. Commissioner, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. I'm so appreciative.
We're looking forward to it. And my friend, as we continue in this broadcast, we always look forward to having you with us. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's only all-the-time radio station, bringing you all local musicians playing their original music. You'll find them online at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.